Good morning. If you would stand for the scripture reading. Today's verses come from Hebrews 11, verses 6 and 7. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, who being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. This is God's word for us today. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. My name is Pastor Dave. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace. We are in a new sermon series. For the summer, we're talking about living by faith. And what we've discovered is faith is defined by the scriptures is the evidence of things hoped for and the assurance of things not seen. One of the ways I like to describe faith is belief in action. We've been going through the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're at. And as we look at this idea of faith and what it means to have faith, we're in the chapter that's described as the Hall of Faith. And so we read about men and women all throughout Hebrews chapter 11 who God used to do extraordinary things. And I got to tell you, Hebrews is one of my favorite books of the Bible, probably my favorite book of the Bible. And Hebrews chapter 11 is one of my favorite chapters. Because as I read through Hebrews chapter 11, I'm so amazed at how these people lived and the things that they did for God. And when I think about that, if I'm honest, I remember growing up and even till recent years thinking, man, I want that kind of faith. How many of you, when you read through Hebrews chapter 11 and you're reading the Hall of Faith, reading about those people, you're like, oh, wouldn't it be great to have that kind of faith? And then quickly, I tell myself, but Dave, that's them. You're you. You're just ordinary Dave. But I've gotten to know and to learn that my faith isn't about me. And that my faith doesn't come because I conjure it up on my own. It's not that those people that we read in Hebrews chapter 11 are extraordinary. It's that God is extraordinary. And God is always about doing the extraordinary in and through the lives of ordinary people. And I wanted to start the sermon out with that today because it's very easy to read through Hebrews chapter 11 and spend the rest of your walk in with the Lord wishing your life away, so to speak. Man, I wish I had this kind of faith. I wish I could do something extraordinary for God. And what I want to hear, what I want you guys to hear me say today is our extraordinary God is still about using ordinary people like me, like you, to do the extraordinary. So when you read Hebrews chapter 11 from now on, may it bring you to a great place of joy. May it bring you to a great place of hope that yes, even though you're ordinary, that God's going to do the extraordinary through you. He can do it and he will do it. And I've watched God do the extraordinary through our ordinary church family here at Grace. I look across the auditorium and I see where God's extraordinary work has radically changed lives. He's still in that business. This didn't just happen in Hebrews chapter 11. He's doing it today. But I got a question for you. As we start out, when is it the hardest to put your faith in Christ? When is it the hardest to demonstrate and put your faith in the Lord? Somebody tell me. What's that? Okay, when things are going good. You gave me the opposite answer. And I thought what you were going to tell me was when things are going bad. When things are going bad, we cry out for sure. But oftentimes we struggle to walk in our faith when things don't make sense. When life just doesn't make sense. when you don't have the answers you're looking for, when those answers don't seem to be coming, when you begin to wonder, is God really there for me? That's when faith is hard, is when it doesn't make sense. Some of you know what I'm talking about because this morning, this is right where you're at. Something's going on in your life where it's like, this just doesn't make sense. Maybe somebody in here has lost a job this week, or you've gotten a bad diagnosis, or you're having relationship problems, whether as a husband and wife, or whether with your kids, or whether with coworkers, and it's excruciatingly painful, and it doesn't make sense why you're going through this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody in that struggle? Yeah, a lot of us. So how do we have an unwavering faith in God, even when life doesn't make sense? That's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to do that by looking at Noah. And look at Noah's story and see that Noah lived in a period and God asked him to do something that didn't make sense. And as we look at Noah today, we're going to answer three questions as we go about our day. The first question is this. Whoop, let me back up. What's this? Where does the source of our unwavering faith come from? What's the source of our unwavering faith? Second, what are the elements of unwavering faith? What does it look like? How do I know when I have a strong, unwavering faith? And then three, what is the result of unwavering faith? What is the result of unwavering faith? Let's pray and we'll jump in. So Lord God, we come to you today. We thank you that you are an extraordinary God who works in and through the ordinary to bring about your glorious purposes, to bring about showing us who you are, what your character, actions, and promises are all about. And thank you, God, for doing the extraordinary in our ordinary lives. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for that. We thank you for the word that you've given us so that we can know you better. And Lord, we ask today that you would strengthen our faith as we look at Noah. And we pray these things today in your name. Amen. Amen. So let's read Hebrews 11, 6 and 7 again. It says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." So here we read in Hebrews about Noah, and we're given the 10,000-foot flyover, right? We're told that by faith, God comes to Noah, he warns him, and he tells him to build an ark. Okay? But we're not given a lot of backstory in Hebrews as to why that is. But in Genesis chapters 6 through 8, which we're not going to spend time there today due to time, but I am going to reference it off and on throughout the sermon. Genesis 6 through 8, we find out that the people that God has created are evil, not just a little bit of the time, all the time. And that's how bad society had gotten, is that there was never a time when anybody did good that thought about God. Everybody was evil, and that evil just kept growing and growing and growing. And so God was going to destroy the world. And he calls on Noah. And he asks Noah to do something that doesn't seem to make sense. He told Noah to build this thing. Okay? Now, in Noah's day, it wouldn't have been as pretty as this. Okay? This is an actual ark. It's in Kentucky. How many of you have gone to see this ark? Yeah, is it massive? Yeah. Okay, this is put on by the Creation Museum in Kentucky. If you haven't had a chance to go walk through this, I would highly recommend it. But this is what God told Noah to build, and it wouldn't take him a day. Some theologians think it took him up to 100 years to build this ark. Some think a little less, 75. A lot of people, a lot of the theologians think 100. But that's what God told Noah to do. So let's talk about the source of unwavering faith. Where did Noah get the faith to actually build that? Well, let's look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. We're gonna dissect this verse a little bit at a time as we talk today. So it says this in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God. Now let's stop right there. What assumption can we make about Noah and God just by looking at that little, those four or five words? What's that? Okay, Noah believed in God. It kind of assumes relationship a little bit, doesn't it? God warned Noah. Well, it makes me ask a lot of questions. Why is God warning Noah and not somebody else? What's going on that Noah is able to be in a posture to be able to hear from God? Hebrews 11 doesn't necessarily tell us, but if we go back to Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, here's what it says. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. And I want you to focus in on this last statement. Noah walked with God. What Genesis 6 doesn't tell us is Noah's origin story. But it picks up with Noah being an adult man, already having a family. And it says that Noah found favor with the Lord. Why? Why? Well, look what it says. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. How many of you think that means Noah was perfect? Good. I'm glad you didn't think that, because Noah is not perfect. He's ordinary like you and I. He's sinned. He's fallen short. But Noah is recognized by God as righteous and blameless. Why? Because Noah has put his faith in God. And God, by grace, has given him that faith. And as a result, Noah is righteous and blameless in his generation. But that last phrase sums it up greatly. Noah walked with God. That's the source of Noah's unwavering faith, so that when God comes to Noah and says, Noah, I want you to go build this ark, Noah immediately starts in. Why? Because he knows God. Noah walked with God. So what is the source of Noah's faith? God. God's the source of Noah's faith. How many of you, when you think about demonstrating faith, feel like you have to work it up on your own? Anybody? That's natural. It's natural for us, just like when we're talking about obedience. Oftentimes in our faith, we're like, okay, I get it. I'm gonna accept my salvation by grace through faith. But now I'm going to spend the rest of my days proving why God should have saved me or earning God's favor. So my obedience becomes something that I try to pull myself up on my bootstraps and I try to work it out in my own strength. We do the same thing with faith and oftentimes think that we have to be the one to build faith. And yet what Scripture tells us is faith is a gift from God. Romans 5 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Hebrews 12 tells us what? Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. What amazing news is that? That my faith, the source of my faith, doesn't come from my own strength or even my own weakness, the source of unwavering faith in the midst of life's storms, the source of that faith is God. Men, happy Father's Day. For those of you guys that are dads, congratulations. We live in a time and in a culture where men in a lot of ways are attacked. And it leaves us guys confused. What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a godly man? Guys, can I just say this? God designed all of us as men with unique personalities, unique gifts, unique talents, unique abilities. We're not all the same. But when we talk about what does it mean to be a godly man, all of us find our foundation in the last four words here. Noah walked with God. No matter who we are, men, the foundation of being a godly man is being a man who walks with God. And as you press into that, as you press into God, He grows you in your faith. Ladies, this is true for you too. My prayer for myself as being a dad is that I would be a dad that would be known as a man who walks with God. And I have to surrender daily to the Lord and by faith trust that each day He's making me into that kind of guy. And my prayer for you men in this room is that very prayer. That God would make you men who walk with Him. And ladies, that you would be women, godly women, who walk with God. Because walking with God is where the source of an unwavering faith comes from. When life doesn't make sense, when relationships go south, when you lose your job, when you're mocked for your faith, when nothing seems to go right, you keep walking with God and watch how He strengthens your faith. If you're here this morning and you're like, man, I want that kind of unwavering faith. But I don't know. I don't know if, what if God won't give it to me? I know I can't conjure it up by myself. Let me just say this to you, if that's you this morning. What I would tell you is this. If you want that kind of unwavering faith, ask God for it. Ask God for it. When's the last time that God told somebody who prayed, God, would you give me an unwavering faith in you? Strengthen my faith. And God says, nah. Nah, I don't think so. No, God answers that prayer every single time with yes. If you feel like your faith is so weak, if you feel like, man, I just am never going to get to a place of having a strong faith, ask God for it, which is what I do daily. God, help me to love you more every day. God, increase my faith. Make my faith stronger in you. And then as you ask Him for that, walk with Him. Daily be in His Word. Get to know Him. Find out who He is. His Word tells us over and over again what His character, what His actions, and what His promises are. That's how Noah's faith grew. That's how Noah would end up building an ark in a place that didn't make sense, in a time that didn't make sense. And it wasn't like that flood was coming anytime soon. Right? So an unwavering faith, the source of it is the Lord. So that's the source of unwavering faith. What does unwavering faith look like? How do I know if I have it? What's the evidence of it? What are the elements of it? And there we go. The elements of unwavering faith. Oh, let's go back one. Hebrews 11:7. Let's move on to the next phrase. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen. Okay, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen. So again, we all know the story. God comes to Noah, he warns him, and he says, Noah, I'm going to destroy the world by a flood, but you have found favor in my eyes. I want you to build an ark for you and your family and for the animals. I want to set for myself a remnant. But it wasn't like that flood was coming, and it wasn't like that flood was coming tomorrow. What God asked Noah to do was to be obedient, even when he didn't see how it was going to turn out. To be obedient, even though he didn't know how necessarily it was going to turn out, other than what God had said. And so here's the first element of an unwavering faith. An unwavering faith focuses on God's character, actions, and words, not on what we can see or how we feel. Unwavering faith is demonstrated and focused on God's character, actions, and promises, his words, not on what we see or how we feel. Now, if I'm honest, and the waves of life are creeping up on me and things aren't making sense, what's my first go-to? Sometimes my first go-to is to put faith in what I can see. That makes the most sense to me. Okay, well, I see this and I see that. This doesn't make sense, so maybe I should put my faith in what I see. And then the next thing I find myself doing is putting faith in how I feel. Now imagine Noah. Okay, God says, Noah, I want you to build an ark. And Noah immediately looks at God and says, where am I going to get the wood from? We know that God tells him exactly what kind of wood to use. He gives him exactly all the instructions he needs. But again, Noah's got to go collect this stuff. Noah's got a lot of work ahead of him. And oh, by the way, it's not like that area has ever flooded before. So Noah's like, there's going to be a flood here? And you want me to do what? Looks like, you know, people are evil and people are doing their own thing. But man, today doesn't look like catastrophe. So what would have happened if Noah would have based his faith on what he saw? Let's take it a step further. Because the world tells us, oh, trust your heart. Go with what feels right. Go with what feels good. Man, we get told that all the time in 1,000 different ways, to trust your heart. Well, can you imagine Noah? Maybe on the first day, Noah's excited. Holy cow, God talked to me. That's crazy. That's amazing. Yeah, let's get started. But what about 40 years in? And nothing's happened. And here you are building the biggest yard ornament that's ever been seen. And there's no rain. There's nothing. How many of you think Noah might struggle with some feelings at this point? How about this one? God, I'm tired of building this boat. You've literally asked me to give up this major chunk of my life to do what feels like may never come. And every day I wake up, I'm just working on this project. Man, I was hoping for more. God, you want me to bring how many animals into the ark? And seriously, you want me to spend a year in the ark with stinky animals shoveling poop? How many of you would have feelings about this? Right? Yeah. I imagine Noah was tempted to go through those things. But what would have happened had Noah based his faith on what he could see? Or Noah based his faith on how he felt? We'd all be in trouble. We'd all be in trouble. Why do we do that? Why do we base our faith on what we see and how we feel? Because like Brooks talked about last week, the object of our faith oftentimes are the people that we see or the things that we want. The problem is those things are not eternal. They go away. The problem is when we see, sometimes we see through the eyes of pain and we see through the eyes of suffering and we're looking through glasses that don't really have the right perspective. And so if I base my faith on what I'm looking at, but I'm looking at it through the lens of pain, I'm probably going to put my faith in something I shouldn't. And the same with how I feel. Noah gives us a great example. He didn't put his faith in what he could see. He didn't put his faith in how he felt. He put his faith in the God that he knew. So element one, an unwavering faith, places their faith in God's character, actions, and words, not in what we feel, not in what we see. Element number two. Well, before I get to element number two. So maybe you're out here and you're like, Dave, that's me. I'm always putting my faith in what I see and what I feel. What does it look like to put my faith in God's words and in who he says he is? How do I start to learn how to practice that on a daily basis? So in our house, one of the pastors that we listen to a lot is Jonathan Pokluta. And I really appreciate the way he communicates gospel truth. And he says this. He says, faith is being faithful with what you can control and surrendering what you can't. And I would say this is a great way to practice having an unwavering faith. Be faithful with what you can control. In other words, what does being faithful with what you control mean? Obey God with what he's given you. Obey God with what he's given you. If he says, don't seek revenge, then husbands, don't seek revenge against your wife. If he says, love your enemies, then we love our enemies. But so much about what we see and what we feel, we're reacting to things that oftentimes are out of our control. And we try to control it. And so a way to let go and to have unwavering faith is to say, God, I'm going to do what you say, and I'm going to trust what your words are. I'm going to be a faithful steward of what you've given me, and I'm going to surrender what I can't control. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to not worry about it. I'm going to let it go. How many of you think there'd be a lot more freedom and peace in your life with that? Yeah, agreed. Second element. You want to do the slides for me? There we go. Hebrews 11:7 again. By faith, Noah being warned by God concerning events as yet seen, in reverent fear, underline that in your Bible, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Element number two, unwavering faith is a reverent fear of God over man. Unwavering faith is a reverent fear of God over man. Again, our tendency as humans is to fear men in some way. And oftentimes, we go more on what people say than what God says. There are times that we know that we're to obey God, but because of people in our lives or our bosses or whatever, we make decisions that demonstrate that the people around us carry more weight than God does. Noah was a beautiful example of a man who didn't care about what people thought about him, but instead, in a reverent, holy fear, trusted God. Noah was in awe of God. Why? Because Noah spent time with God. And Noah watched God do the extraordinary. Even before Noah was asked to build the ark. Think about it. Noah's building this ark. What do you think Noah's buddies are saying to him? What's that? Yeah. I can't imagine the ridicule that Noah's going through. Hey, Noah, nice yard ornament. Hey, Noah, you're going to climb in that with all those stinky animals? Hey, Noah, you've lost your mind. Hey, Noah, don't you have anything better to do? Hey, Noah, you've been working on this project for 20 years. I don't see any flood. Seriously, Noah, what are you doing? Can you imagine Noah's family? Here's what I can imagine. One of his kids. Hey, Dad, can I talk to you about something? Dad, it's really embarrassing. You're building this huge boat in the middle of this land. And man, I get harassed nonstop, Dad, for what you're doing. I imagine those scenarios probably happened. And what's Noah do? He obeys God. Why? Because he was walking with God, and because his awe and reverence for God was bigger than his awe and his reverence for people. So an unwavering faith looks like fearing God over man. Well, Dave, you don't understand. I got a really bad problem with fearing man. Okay. Let's go back to what I said earlier. How do you get over that? You ask God for faith. You ask God to give you that unwavering faith. And then you get busy knowing God. And as you get to know God, he's going to become weightier and weightier, because you're going to see his glory. You're going to see his promises coming true in your life. You're going to see him show up and do the extraordinary in your life and the lives of your friends. And over time, you're going to have an unwavering faith that puts its faith in God rather than man. In closing, I want to talk about what are the results of an unwavering faith. What are the results of an unwavering faith? By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So what was the result of Noah's unwavering faith? He built a boat. And as he built that boat and he climbed in it and God sealed those doors shut, what did Noah experience? Noah experienced two things. He experienced God's purpose and God's glory. God's purpose was to condemn the world and to save Noah and his family. And as God's purpose has come forth, his glory does too. Now here's something I don't want you to miss. How many years did I say it took for Noah to build that ark? 100. Peter tells us in 2 Peter that all the days that Noah was building that ark, he was preaching righteousness to anyone who asked. So when the guy came up and said, "Noah, nice yard ornament," Noah's response wasn't to stop building. Noah's response was to call that guy to repentance. It's not too late, Joe. Joe, God is faithful to his word. God does what he says he's going to do, Joe. God is going to bring a flood. I don't know if it's tomorrow or the next day or the next day or the next day. But you are sinning against a holy God. And there's time for you to repent. There's a reason why it took Noah so long to build the ark. God was demonstrating his patience. There's over 100 years for people to change their mind, to change their heart, to repent before God. But at the end of the day, when the rain started coming and the rain started falling, nobody but Noah and his family got in that ark. God's purposes and his glory prevailed. I wonder, as that the flood water started to come up, what the reactions of the people were. I guarantee you many of them were like, oh my goodness, I should have taken God at his word. Can I get in? It's too late. Noah preached the gospel by what he said to all those who walked by, all those who chided him, all those who gave him a hard time. Noah was preaching righteousness. But let me also tell you this. Noah was preaching righteousness by his obedience. Every day that he hammered into the ark, every day that he was getting more wood, every day that he started to get the animals. I love what it says in Genesis 6 and 7. Everything God asked, it literally says, and Noah obeyed God fully. Every day, Noah's doing that. Very easy to think, what am I doing? How am I spending my life? And yet every single day was a sermon of God's love, of God's coming, of God's judgment. And every single day mattered. Every nail mattered. What's the result of unwavering faith? God's purposes and glory are revealed. We saw a baptism this morning. Chuck, a while back, by grace through faith, gave his life to Jesus. And this morning was a picture of dying to his old self and rising again. Very similar to Noah and his family going into the ark and being saved. Noah comes out of the ark. Noah becomes a descendant of Jesus. And today, it's not the ark. Today, it's the cross. God's glory and purposes are finished at the cross. And as long as you're here, and as long as it's still called today, you have the opportunity to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. And God's patience lasts a long time. That's why Christ hasn't come back yet. As John said, let's pray that happens. I am praying that, but I'm also praying, God, help everybody to get on the ark. Help everybody to put their faith and trust in you. And my life and your life, lived in unwavering faith, becomes a testimony and a sermon to everyone you come into contact with about God's glory and God's purposes. And it's a sermon about righteousness. And it's a sermon about, come know the God that I know. Today, if you've never put your faith in Christ, as sure as God brought the floods and destroyed the world and saved Noah, as sure as that, Christ is coming back again one day. And when he does, he's taking those who have put their faith and trust in him. And for those that don't choose him, they will go to hell and live in total separation from God forever. Today's a day of your salvation. We don't know how long God's patience lasts. But God is pursuing you right now with his love and with time. And he wants you to trust him so that he can transform your life and you can walk in intimacy with the Father throughout all eternity. The other result of an unwavering faith is that there's greater intimacy with God and your faith is made stronger. I'm a testament to that. I'm so thankful that as I've walked with God, he has blessed me with increasing faith. And yet today I'm still praying, God, increase my faith. My intimacy with the Lord is in a way different place than it was 2 years ago, than it was 5 years ago. Why? Because God's faithful to his word. And as I seek him, and as I put forth my work of faith, which is to surrender to him and his will, he more than meets me there. And I've watched God do the extraordinary in my life and in my family's life. And I watch him do the extraordinary, and I know he can do the extraordinary in your life. Let's close in prayer. If you want to trust Christ as your Savior, I'd ask that you make that decision and then come forward after the service and let us know you did. If some of you are here and you're like, man, I need help with my faith, come on up and we'll pray with you about that. Let's pray. So Lord, we do thank you. We thank you that your words are true. We're thankful that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord God, I thank you that as we draw near to you, you're already drawing near to us. Father, I pray that today is the day of salvation, that as we've talked about your faithful actions and what you say is true, God, there's somebody in here today who doesn't know you, who needs to know you. I pray that today is the day of their salvation, God. God, I pray that right now they would just ask you to forgive them and to come into their hearts. And God, for the rest of us, as your spiritual family here at 2707 Dubuque Street, God, would you increase our faith? Would you strengthen us? Would you give us an unwavering faith so that when waves and the storms of life come, we will stand strong so that we can be a beacon of love and your purposes and your glory to all we come into contact with. We pray these things today in your name. Amen. Amen. Go in grace. Have a great week, everybody.